Well, good morning, and I'm really pleased to have with us today Derek Peaver, an entrepreneur and a real estate investor. Welcome, Derek.
It's an honor. Thanks, Ozzy.
I'm really glad to have you because we have a lot of heavyweights in terms of the real estate markets. We have people that are running huge corporations. We have major architects. But when you talk to somebody that has really grown a portfolio, you realize they started out generally with one unit or got an idea or went to see a course and thought, huh, maybe I should do that. So what is your background in real estate and track record?
Thanks, Ozzy. So basically, my family background is in the marine industry. So my grandpa, my dad, my brother, myself, we were all tugboat captains at C-SPAN. I had my 60-ton ticket when I was just 22. So I was on track to be the youngest captain, tugboat captain ever at C-SPAN. I started when I was 17 on the tugboats, and obviously younger, riding along with family and stuff. But in 2005, a lady that we both know told me about Rich Dad Poor Dad, Kelly Fry. So I just took a chance ride in a car with her, and she told us about those books the whole way on our ride, 1 hour ride from the airport to Pitt Meadows, BC, where I live now. And the very next day I went out and bought the book at the Langley Chapters and power read through the book, you know, had a paradigm shift right there, because where I was at was I had some savings, I had a good salary job, I had good time off, but I was saving up for my principal residence and a Harley and a boat. So
in
I
that
read that
order,
book.
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the dream. But I read, powered through that series and quickly had a paradigm shift and wound up buying my first condo in March 2006 in Agassiz, BC.
Small town, yeah.
Very small. And I lived in Cloverdale at the time, but we had to go that far to find positive cash flow. So that was key for us as Rich Dad, Poor Dad's students. And basically, I did it four ways with my best friend, my dad, and his dad. We each put in $5,000.
Great.
Myself and Carson got the mortgage.
Yeah.
We were able to put down 25% and fund a little renovation. It's hard to believe, but if you drill
Yeah.
into the math, it's a true story. We did
what a few years might do, no?
Yeah, well, I just looked the other day. These are just over 200,000 today, these condos in Agassiz.
Yeah.
But still, I tell people, if you want to get on the ladder, you know, capitalism is a ladder. That's where you have to be willing to go. I used to drive out there before work on the tugboats and drive back, get changed in a parking lot in my car, and go to work for 12 hours and then go back out there to renovate. So, you know, basically by the time I bought my fourth joint venture in Pitt Meadows, it was a townhouse for $165,000. We fully gutted it. My partner, my business partner, he owned a little residential curbing company as well called Curb Canada. So we would improve the curb appeal of the property, you know, tear out all the ugly bushes, put in
Yeah.
the nice curbing and the rocks. We didn't even have a chainsaw. We used to take out big bushes with an axe.
Yeah.
So eventually, though, like everybody, I ran out of my own money, right? And that's when I had to start reading the books about using other people's money. Attending
Sure.
the real estate clubs like REAG and many others.
Yeah, I think
And
that's where I met you at REAG. I think that you were the real estate action group is a group of like-minded individuals who either started small to get bigger, and we've had an incredible number of people. We have people that actually won an Oscar, and we have people that went from zero to 10,000 units in the United States. But the big thing was even like starting out small. I love those stories because that's what I did. The first 10 houses I bought, I moved in and out within 6 months. And my wife and I, freshly married, I'm not really recommending it, although we got along, but freshly married, she never unpacked. I was always with a do-it-yourself book and a hammer, you know. And those weren't, you couldn't go to a Home Depot and buy doors for a kitchen cabinet. No, you had to get a 4x8 sheet. And I had to get four doors out of there. It's unbelievable to work. But there's something about when you take action. It doesn't matter even if you take not always the perfect action right away. But you learn very, very quickly by making it look on the outside. I'm telling people right now, it's closer to Christmas time, put some lights out, put the tree up, put, make it, think about it. The people that buy the place, they probably want to live there. And if they want to live there, they want to have a homey feeling. So you got to put that out there. Now, you came out of all that long road and you created the concept of super suites.
Right. Yes. So I won't go super long, but just to finish off my startup story, because the way where I end that usually is 2009, when I cut the umbilical cord at my lifetime job. Everybody thought I was nuts and went to do real estate full time. And at that time, I downsized from a big house that I owned with my dad, 50-50, and into a tiny condo. And $600 a month payment in Abbotsford. I didn't know anybody in the city, but we just went out there to grow our business. And that's when Supersuites was born. And I actually heard about furnished corporate rentals at a real estate meetup group.
So
A
that's what
lady.
Super Suites is furnished rentals.
Yes. So what we do at Supersuites is we help people that have had flood, fire, tree falls on their home, anything that makes their home temporarily unlivable, could be mold. And it's emergency housing. So we work with insurance adjusters to give really high service, housekeeping included, turnkey, maintenance-free kind of condos and townhouses in the Fraser Valley is where we started. And we expanded across Canada, four provinces. And now we're also in Texas, which I'm excited to talk to you about today. And we also do corporate rentals and in-betweeners. So it's midterm rentals. I'd like to say we started before Airbnb existed.
So when you say midterm, you what's that, 3 months or?
That's the typical dishwasher leaks, 3 month, 4 month tenancy.
That's a brilliant idea. So how do you get clients? Are you working together with insurance companies or?
Right. So we've just worked really hard. Like our very first clients were the insured, we call them, the resident or the homeowner or the tenant that has insurance. They find us online typically back in the beginning. And then we would one insurance adjuster at a time, build our database, treat them really well, answer the phone immediately, move in same day service kind of thing, and just give really good value. And we built a list of several hundred adjusters that we work with now.
Well, that's the key is in the end, it always comes down to the actions that you take. It's not just follow up, but also follow through, right? So that I'm always surprised. Sometimes I get an email and one quick follow up and I never hear from the individual again, right? It's the building the relationship. Now, I've invested in the United States, in Phoenix and also in Texas, in Houston, but you picked Austin, Texas. Why did you pick Austin?
So it's a balance. I'm a real estate guy like you. And so for me, it had to be somewhere with the fundamentals, the way I see them, which is population growth, job growth, transportation improvements, critical infrastructure expansion, positive political climate, and so on, right? And then the other half of the equation was for my own family, because I'm kind of the mind now where I only like to invest in the Fraser Valley and Central Texas, where I live half the year each, where I can go, but because I'm an operator, I'm a front lines, like a practitioner, property manager of my own properties. And well, I hope we get into it a lot, but it's lifestyle as well. Like I'm a big stand-up comedy guy. So the whole comedy scene that's flourishing in Austin. Like I've been to the mothership several times since I've moved down there.
Well, I know you consider yourself a winter Texan.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think
Yeah.
listen, there's nothing like stand-up comedy where you're really out there, right? You live and die with your jokes, you live and die with the audience and how you engage them. So that'll probably makes you the good speaker that you are.
Yeah, every year that was my tradition was to go in a party bus with my friends to the Vancouver comedy clubs. So now in Austin, I'm going to keep the tradition going.
So, okay, I love Austin. It's a beautiful place. I mean, you have a lot of high tech people move to Austin, and in fact, a whole bunch of companies are leaving California, and in droves, literally going to Houston and Austin, and they go for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons, which is sort of close to my heart, is the word taxes has a different connotation in Texas than it does in British Columbia.
Sure does. Yes. Communism and capitalism come to mind.
So, okay, so is there property transfer tax?
Yeah, so I know you wanted to discuss taxes, so forgive me for looking down a little bit, but I took
Sure.
some notes because I
Yeah,
wanted to be
sure, yeah.
thorough for the viewers. So right away, the big skeleton in the closet would be that property taxes in Texas, as you know, are much higher than they are here. So it's kind of a pro in a sense that when I'm back home now, I don't complain about property taxes anymore because they just look absurdly low now. So I feel like I'm getting a deal just paying them. But
So
of course,
that's, yeah,
we
go
don't get
ahead.
anything for it up here, though, right? Which is a whole nother discussion. But so in North Austin, which is a beautiful area, by the way, like you mentioned, the Silicon Hills. You know, it's not what I always imagined when I thought Texas in my mind, like a country western movie, West
Yeah.
Texas. It's hilly. It's gorgeous. There's very lush grottos and very tropical feeling parts of it, right? The hill country triangle in the center of Texas is kind of like the cream of the crop as far as if you're from Texas and you say you live in hill country, you're in the good stuff, right? Now up in North Austin suburbs where we invest, such as Round Rock, Leander, Liberty Hill, where I live, Georgetown, these are like the Langley, Surrey, Chilliwack, Maple Ridge of Austin. And the tax rates can really range. So that's a key part of due diligence down there is drilling into the tax rate. So one of the opportunities I'm looking at right now, one of the key things that tipped this opportunity above others is the tax rate, because that's where you can find the difference of cash flow or not. So in Round Rock, in a brand new community where we're looking to buy detached homes for $375,000, it's
Detached
1.7
homes.
double car garage, you know, 1600 square feet. They're starter homes. But 1.75% is the tax rate. So if you take the 375 times it by 1.75, that's your annual tax bill. So it can almost be like a second mortgage payment. It's very substantial, especially on my secondary home. I was shocked how much it was. But if you go out in more remote areas, like say the Chilliwacks, and then it's a brand new community, sometimes they'll have not just the municipal tax rate, but also a MUD, it's called, like an additional tax when the community's in a startup mode. And that additional tax can go away at a certain point, but you can be as high as like 3.25%
Wow.
if you get, yeah, it's huge. And it can be a real rude surprise if you're not aware of it. Okay, so just a general tax of Texas versus here. Of course, there's no state income tax, which you don't have to go that far to find it. It's Washington state as well. There's several states that don't have income
So
tax.
no state income tax. So
Correct.
not like we have here. We have a federal tax in Canada and a provincial tax. There's no such thing. Well, that's
Right.
pretty
So
darn good, yeah.
my theory is if you're a hustler and you're now an entrepreneur and you're working, you're going to come out way ahead. Even with the high property taxes, we'll see. I'm in year two now down there, but that's my theory. The sales tax, here's a lifetime something for you, Ozzy. So I was down at getting my car fixed at Kitsilano Tesla just the other day, and I'm on the Cybertruck waiting list in Canada. I started drilling into it with the sales department. They said that we would pay 12% tax on the Cybertruck here, but if I cancel my place and waiting list here, which I only lose $150. I'll buy it in Texas, obviously factory direct, 6.2% tax on the truck. The price on the truck in Canada, $160,000 Canadian. The price on the truck in Austin, $75,000 US.
Jeez.
So currency
Under.
is say 1.38 right now, let's say.
Yeah.
So that's still 103.5 Canadian. It's just way cheaper and tax. Transport costs, all that is part of it, but that I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Here's my favorite thing. Sorry, were you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so we like to buy new construction for super suites, and I'll get into a bit more exactly what we're buying and why. But there, when we bought new construction, the price is exactly what you pay. There's no property transfer tax, which I found so refreshing, right?
Yeah.
There's also no GST on new purchase. So there was literally legal fees. I was waiting for the shoe to drop, you know, like the price was 750 on one thing that we bought, and it was like 760 after closing. So I was just like, wow, or less. There's no speculation tax, there's no underused housing tax. It's what they call a non-disclosure state. So if the city sends you mail wanting you to fill out an assessment survey, like, did I get a new pool or did I do this or that? Did I do any additions? You can just politely not complete it. So they're not going to put the screws to you. If you read the fine print, it's a non-disclosure state. The one thing that I have learned that's fairly new in Texas is there is a corporate, kind of like our LOTRA or landowner transparency or the bare trust filings, you know, these endless projects that you spend all your time and money on in BC. Where if you own 20 more than 25% of a Texas corporation, then you just have to go online yourself and file a little web form. So it's not too bad. I found the ones in BC, I just couldn't do them myself.
No, you need it. Yeah, exactly. Nobody can.
Exactly. This is something I would like to actually pick your brain if you have any experience with this, but I was always curious about this, and I learned just through researching it that the 1031 rollover in the States, which is a big benefit to deferring tax in the States as you move from project to project, doesn't apply for Canadians. But I was curious, have you and Ralph found a way to effectively do that, or?
Well, essentially, Rob and I, in most of the thousands of units that we were involved in, we were not really staying as owners. So that was Western Wealth Properties. They bought the property, and we might be investors. I invested myself heavily with them, and we had certainly Ralph, who was licensed. He had clients in there. But what I find in the United States, that it's very everything varies by state. You have, for instance, a triple LP in Austin, no, not in Austin, in Phoenix, in Arizona, and we don't even recognize that here. And that makes a big difference because the CRA, our Canadian Tax Authority, if they don't recognize an entity, you have the tax treaty or no tax treaty, it doesn't work for you, right? So you have to be careful what entity you put it in. What I like about the forwarding is, and that's what we have in Vancouver, we have thousands, well, all throughout Canada, thousands of complexes that are owned for 30 or 40 years. But by triggering the profit, the owner says, no, I just keep it. So a lot of the properties are not turned over, not modernized, not torn down and new because of the capital gain that has been accumulating. So now the US doesn't have free capital gain. But you can offset your mortgage costs, all of those costs that you have, and then you can buy something else and forward it. I think that has been the secret of the success in the United States. I also think that's why prices are lower. You went very quickly about saying a three-bedroom house with a double garage in a good area, 375,000. No, I mean
With
300.
resort style amenities, right? And right by like a major new freeway where the speed limit would blow your mind. Tesla is 15 minutes away, the Gigafactory. It's the world's largest indoor water park, Kalahuri Water Park. They have a AAA baseball team that's the farm team for the big leagues, right?
Well, but
Coffee.
that's the whole idea is that you look for the price of a front door in Vancouver, you get a full house with all the amenities. Now, what kind of properties do you own right now in Texas? And do you use the same model of the super suites concept that you started here?
Yes, sir. So I like to say our unique selling proposition, because I believe you got to have some special sauce, you know, not just a vanilla deal. And what I was shocked by when I explored the neighborhoods down in North Austin is that there's a very oversupply of walk-up three-story new apartments. And they're beautiful and they have resort style amenities. And I've been going to the Chamber of Commerce, you know, grand openings of these properties and stuff. But I was shocked being from BC that none of them had elevators. And so with what we've bought, we bought townhouses. Okay, so they're kind of like from the Eastern US style, I've heard, like 4 stories, rooftop terrace, but private elevators in our townhouses. And we're paying like, you know, 600,000, 585,000 for a brand new one in essentially what is going to become the new downtown Square of Leander, which is like the Langley. It's got light rail right to the doorstep. It's called North Line, and that's the one we paid 750 for. So that was like the top, and that was back closer to the peak of the market. It's probably, debatable 700 it's worth right now, but I feel really good about the long-term hold prospects on these properties.
So, what's the unique selling proposition?
Okay, so private elevators is like the forbidden fruit down there. The rooftop terraces, and get this, Ozzy, you're gonna love this because I'm all about the experiential, the experiential marketing and all this. So the brownstone at the summit, so it's East Coast architecture, but with the Texas traditional brownstone exterior. Like they filmed the Ford Lightning commercial right in front of our townhouses because it's such a beautiful project. It's a award-winning boutique builder, local builder, Novak Brothers. But live music right within the homeowners association, 3 nights a week included in your rent. So here's the other really cool part. There's outdoor dining, there's shops, you're right on Rivery Park. You can walk to the Blue Hole, they call it, swimming hole. Obviously, just certain times of the year when the water's flowing. But you can even carry a couple beer from your townhouse up into the square. It's allowed. It's
That's
open carry.
a no-no in Canada.
It's a
Well,
big one.
who would be your tenant market then down there?
So our very first tenant was a corporate tenant, and it was a national corporation called Bowlero, which is a massive bowling company. And they bought a local bowling alley, and they were totally repositioning in it. So we had the manager for Bowlero was our very first tenant. I thought that was kind of a fun one. We've had quite a few insurance claims, quite a few people doing substantial renovations to larger homes, $1 million home renovation, and they decide, well, we're just going to go stay. We're right in kind of walking distance tall amenities in the town, overlooking the San Gabriel River Valley. So it's like a green belt of treetops that you look at off of our rooftop terraces. It's really beautiful.
Well, I think that's part of your background. I mean, you're a family man. How many kids do you have?
Five.
Well, you're way ahead of me. I have five grandkids, so I don't know whether that counts. But we are starting to be a rare breed. If you have a family today, you're an unusual kind of a person, particularly if you're married for a long time. But I think you have a different perspective, I think, when you're looking at the totality of your family. How do they enjoy life, and what is it that they see, and what can you instill the values are. What I like about you is you're an entrepreneur, you're a real estate investor, you're dedicated and committed to what you believe, but your background is a farmer, right? As well as a winter Texan. And you explore the Pacific Northwest on a tugboat. I mean, who does
Yeah.
that, right? So, because I always believe, you talk about unique selling proposition. Well, you are it. I think if I talk to you and you make it very believable in terms of why I should be renting a place with you, because you seem to look at all the bases. You casually mention, well, I went to the city hall or to this or that. Very few people actually do that. We go down there, or go down there, and we don't take the details that is necessary to run a successful business. So, currently, are there any investment opportunities in North Austin?
Yes, I've been basically stalking the sales centers for almost a year now, just watching the knife fall. And the way I look at it is, I've got a beachhead. We purchased six properties, including my secondary residence, and then I actually had to sell one just to release the pressure valve
Sure.
because it's been really tough 2 years. But the vacancy's been pretty soft everywhere, not just there. And right now I'm fully booked there, so. But the current opportunities, finally, I feel like it is bottoming. Like I'm watching the rate of their sales, their incentives, and I feel like it's bottomed. Like this property we're looking at in Avery Center, it's a new master plan community in Round Rock, Texas, which is kind of like the Surrey Cloverdale area of Austin. 375 at the peak of the market probably would have been somewhere north of 450, and you can get some really good incentives. Things included, cash backs. If I was a local person, I could get a really good rate buy down, but unfortunately, I'm a foreign national, so those don't apply to me, but maybe a bit more cash back or renovation, furniture allowance, these kind of things. But 375, here's the big pack here, Ozzy. The value that I see that maybe other people might not see is I at all of these homeowners associations where I want to buy in I want to buy detached now because Texans like a little yard. I heard you talking the other day to Brent. People like a little yard, with a dog, a fenced yard. So if we can afford it, I could never afford it here and make the numbers work. But if we can make it work, then we go in the HOA and get access to the amenities. But most of these HOAs actually, even in Texas, have 3 and 6 month minimums. Okay. If you're in freehold, you have nothing to worry about in Texas, basically. But in these HOAs, they are sensitive to Airbnbs just like everywhere else. And that's not what we do. But this one in Round Rock is one of the only ones that has no rental restrictions. So we only do 1 month plus. But if you had to, in a tough market, take a 2 week booking, you have the freedom and the property rights to do that. And the tax rate is the lowest. So that's why I'm looking at that location. We'll rent that property based on our other 3 and 4 bedrooms in the area, somewhere around 5,500. We'll go as low as 4,950 for a good tenant, and the top could be 6 grand US. So after you convert that, I was converting some of the monthly rents we were getting. It was like 8,500 Canadian a month.
Well, and that's of course when you have a low capital investment, like the numbers are half, 50%, or a third of what the prices would be in Canada. Now, why should anybody invest with you? Are you still looking for capital?
Yeah, so the way that we're structuring the deals in Texas, several of those properties I bought on my own, and then I do joint ventures. We've done a few limited partnerships in the past, but I found that the accounting and the legal really ate our lunch. So I'm just keeping my structure super simple. I just like one-off joint ventures, and the cash required for that particular deal would be around 120 US after everything. I can get mortgages. We're still paying 7.5% interest, but we can make them cash flow. Not huge cash flow, but the idea is just get them to cash flow and then improve that over time, maybe refi down, hopefully once the rates finally come down in the US, but I'm not holding my breath for that.
Well, that's the good and the bad and the ugly. The good about it is that maybe there's more inflation in the United States than you think, because unemployment rates are at record lows. And so inflation went up marginally month over month for the first time in a or bubble 2 months in a row. So maybe the interest rates won't be coming down as far as they might in Canada. So you and then so because most of your rates are what 30-year rates, and
That's right.
they're based on the bond market, and the 10-year bond is in the 4.5% range. So yes, it's good for you to look at. The outside is rates are going to be high, but the income that you can get compared to the investment still makes sense. Okay,
Right.
so what are the key Texas takeaway you can leave to the listeners?
Well, a lot of it has to do with taxes, which we covered pretty thorough. Property rights is another thing that we touched on. I feel like you're much better there. There was case law that came out of Austin where a federal judge said it was unconstitutional for the city of Austin to shut down someone's ability to do an Airbnb on a luxury rental in West Austin. So that's a nice precedent at the opposite end of the scale from New York's and the Vancouver's of the world. So I like that. It's lifestyle. I felt super safe. They sweep up the campers in our county, Williamson County, and they moved them to Travis County. Just very safe. And as far as why I invest with me, I'm proud of my track record. Like I've exited over 120 joint ventures since 2009, and never once lost an investor's money. And I'm trying really hard to not foul that record up in a tough market. And basically, I'll do the work and hang in the long haul because a lot of people will fizzle out over time.
Well, what I like about it that you're there, you live there, you're hands-on, and when anybody meets you and walks around with you for a while, they realize that you mean what you say, and you have the experience, and you picked it. I mean, Austin is just a fabulous, fabulous town with a great future. I mean, Elon Musk moved there, thousands of employees. It had to be a good thing. Daragon.
Interplanetary future.
Yeah, there you go. Well, look, thank you very much for taking the time and sharing with us your thoughts about the United States and the world and your exciting adventure that you're on. Take care.
Thank you, Ozzy.
Anybody that's watching down below, we have his contact information. And if you are listening to us on a podcast, just go to OzBuzz, OzBuzz.ca. And you can always send me an email there or find the contact information for Derek there. Thank you for joining me, Derek.
Thank you, Ozzy. Pleasure.